But you heard me say it earlier, Alana has been sort of flitting in and out of the room, and every now and then she comes in and conducts an interview on arts or outdoors or natures or something like that. And here you are again. Good morning, Alana.
Good morning, Robert. Yes, I have a really fun job, so thank you for pointing that out. But this morning we're talking about the Minnesota State Parks, which are turning 125 this year. And nationwide, park attendance has actually declined for the last 20 years or so. But in Minnesota, a rising number of park visitors keeps Susan Olin and Connie Cox pretty busy. Susan is the assistant park manager at Lake Bemidji State Park, and Connie Cox is the lead park naturalist at Itasca State Park. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Susan, let's start with you and a little speculation. Why do you think more people are visiting parks in Minnesota, even as national numbers are dropping?
Well, for one thing, we had an absolutely gorgeous summer last year. I don't think it stormed on a weekend, maybe once.
Wow, that helps.
Can't argue with the weather. But that said, I think the DNR has also made a lot of effort to bring in new users. I know we discussed legacy funding a little bit beforehand, but there's been a number of new programs to address skills. We have a lot of new people that maybe didn't grow up camping, fishing, doing those sorts of outdoor programs. And so the DNR has developed a group of I Can programs. I can paddle, I can fish, I can climb, those sorts of things. At our park, we do I Can Camp. We have a two-night camp out. It's something people sign up for in advance. The fee is minimal, but we actually have a dedicated crew that goes throughout the state running these workshops where you come in, they provide most of the gear, you learn to cook, you learn to camp, and that's a good way to bring in new users.
Absolutely. And some of those outdoorsy kind of skills can be a little intimidating, I think, for new people. So what a great way to do it.
Sure. I think it's just been tremendously positive. People come back. Second time I Can campers, and then we see them coming back again. So a lot of it is getting comfortable with something that might be unfamiliar to you.
Great. And we did talk about legacy funding a bit. I actually read a Star Tribune article earlier this month that was kind of linking some of the legacy funding around Minnesota with more programming for the state parks. Have you seen a correlation with those two items at Lake Bemidji State Park?
It's really difficult, I think, to pin particular numbers to a particular source of funding. But certainly the legacy has been a tremendous boost to many aspects of what goes on in our state park. That might be intern funding, program funding, extra gear. We've been able to add rental equipment that brings people in, whether it's canoes, kayaks, those sorts of things. So that's, again, an opportunity for people to try a new adventure with maybe out not having to invest in the gear themselves.
Sure. Now, Connie, we'll be coming to you next. And 2016 is a big year for the Minnesota State Park system, and it marks the 125th anniversary of the oldest state park in Minnesota, which is Itasca State Park. It must be exciting as the lead naturalist there to be heading into 2016.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful opportunity to celebrate the entire state park and trail system, but especially here because we are, like you said, the oldest park, and so it's our birthday this year. Itasca was established on April 20th, 1891, and since then we've added 74 more state park and recreation areas. We have an extensive network of bicycle trails and snowmobile trails, and it's just amazing as I learn about Itasca's history, and you look at the people who struggled with conservation efforts in the 1800s and the early 1900s, and the foresight these people had to not just think of their own need, but to think of those in the future. So when Sue talks about people who've never had an experience to get outdoors and they can go through the I Can Camp program or the I Can Climb, I sit there and think of, like, our park founder, Jacob Brower, and when he helped set aside Itasca, which started the whole effort to set aside state parks as well as national parks. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity for people to actually enjoy nature and to see beautiful areas across Minnesota that really are gems for our natural treasures that we have.
Yeah, and Connie, you know, you mentioned trails, which are one of the best ways, I would say, to get out and enjoy the parks. Can you tell us about the 125-mile program and how it links to the anniversary this year?
Oh, yes. What we're trying to do is, of course, we picked 125 miles to commemorate the 125 years of our state parks and trails system. And what it is, it's an opportunity for a person to either hike 125 miles, bicycle 125 miles, or there are also water trails people don't realize, like the Mississippi River, the Minnesota River, and even a trail along the shoreline of Lake Superior. So if you go kayaking or canoeing, you can count those miles towards your goal of reaching 125 miles. You can either do it, if you prefer just biking, you can work towards the goal just doing that, or you can combine all three efforts. And when you can go online, download a form, and you can track your mileage. And when you reach 125 miles, you can go into any one of our state parks, and you can receive a collector sticker that says you reached the 125-mile mark. But what Sue and I and others across the state are hoping is you just don't stop at the 125, that once you hit it, you keep going. And so throughout the state parks this year, there are a lot of parks that are offering different river trips. There are bicycling tours. We are doing a hiking series as well. For example, at Itasca, we're doing the North Country Trail Hike, where each month people can go out and hike a section of the North Country Trail, which passes through Minnesota. It's a national trail system that's operated by the National Park Service. And they're also, by the way, celebrating 100 years. So you can earn 125 miles by coming out on those, but a lot of opportunities, as you said, to get out on trails.
That's terrific. I'm talking right now with Susan Olin, the Assistant Park Manager at Lake Bemidji State Park, and Connie Cox, the Lead Naturalist at Itasca State Park, about what's cooking at some of our state parks now in their 125th year. Susan, looking ahead, there are a couple of great events coming up at Lake Bemidji State Park. Could you give us a couple of highlights?
Sure. Now that we are getting some good snow, taking
yes.
advantage of that, for, again, people who may not have snowshoed before, we are doing Snowshoe for Fun every other Thursday through the rest of January and into February. That'll be coming up this Thursday at 1 p.m. This Saturday, I'll be leading a group out to the bog. Many people enjoy the bog in the summer, the Lady Slippers in bloom, and then in the fall when the tamaracks turn gold, but it's a wonderful destination in the winter as well. There are things you can do in the winter that you can't do in the summer, like go out onto the lake. And it's just kind of a different perspective on a really special part of the park. So that'll be this Saturday at 10 a.m. We have a candlelight ski coming up. That's co-sponsored with the Bemidji Area Cross Country Ski Club. That's February 13th. A fat bike rally. This is a second annual Northland fat bike rally for us. Again, new user group. Fat bikes are getting bigger by the moment. And we had a very successful event last year. This will be Saturday, March 5th with the Bemidji Area Mountain Bikers at the state park.
Terrific. And Robert Saxton is in the studio nodding his head along with the fat bike rally. That's going to be a good one.
I've gotten to know those some of those fat bike riders. They really are a neat, neat user group, as you say, and are getting out there kind of on the edge of some of the ski trails, and then they hop onto some of the snowshoe trails and bike around. It's a really neat alternative exercise.
Yeah. I should mention that this is a one-day event for us, and we actually have to get special permission to open the ski trails for this event. There are other places in the state where trails are open to them on a regular basis. But last year, we had over 50 people come in and a very mixed demographic. I mean, we had kids maybe down to age 11 and folks with white hair, as well as couples and, you know, just quite a mix of people coming out. It was more varied group than I thought it might be. So it was really fun to see that mix of people coming out for a new sport.
And Connie, back to you with Itasca State Park. There's a specific event I wanted to ask you about, which is February 13th, the Old Time Ice Harvest. Tell us what that will involve.
Oh, that's a wonderful opportunity. We work with a local pioneer historic group. It's the Lake Itasca Region Pioneer Farmers. And what we do is we actually go out on Lake Itasca. We take old-time hand saws, ice saws, and other tools, and we actually collect ice off of Lake Itasca. The Pioneer Farmers are located right on the north end of Itasca, and every summer on Saturdays, they open up their showgrounds for park visitors to tour and see and learn about the historic methods that pioneers used just before refrigeration. You know, how did you keep your food cold? And so they collect ice, they store it in an ice house. But what's really neat about that event is, you know, people can come out, you can try pulling the handsaw, you can try and lug some of those big chunks of ice across the lake as we put them on a sled. And this year, because it's our 125th in July, on July 29th, 30th, and 31st, we're having a big birthday extravaganza on that weekend. We're having a picnic in the park birthday party. And one of the activities we're going to be doing is making ice cream in a bag, where you can make your own little individual serving of homemade ice cream. And the ice we're going to be using is the ice that we're collecting in February off of Lake Itasca to cool down your ice cream. So it's going to be a fun opportunity. We hope people can come out and help cut the ice and then come back in July and help make ice cream to enjoy our birthday.
Well, sign me up. You've got history and ice cream, which are two of my favorite topic areas.
Awesome.
So, Sue, last question is for you. For someone who's maybe never used one of the state parks before, how can they access a park?
Sure. A park like ours, we have the office open pretty much 7 days a week, with very few exceptions. And either a daily vehicle permit, which is $5 to come into the park, or we do have an annual, which is $25 and is good at all Minnesota state parks for 12 months from when you buy it. So that would take you in this area, you know, Itasca, Big Bug up north, but all over the state, really. There are other parks which are not as fully staffed, particularly in the winter. They will have a self-registration station, and you can just fill out the little form there, and that works too. You'll get a tear-off receipt that you can use for your permit for that day.
Well, lots and lots of cool stuff going on at the Minnesota State Parks this year, and you can find more information at dnr.state.mn.us. Susan and Connie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Susan Olin and Connie Cox of Lake Bemidji and Itasca State Parks. You too can celebrate the park's 125th anniversary by simply going outside and checking out some of the many programs the parks have to offer. For more information, you can give us a call at 800-662-5799.
This conversation is part of Area Voices. Area Voices, telling the arts, cultural, and historical stories of northern Minnesota, and is made possible in part by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of the great state of Minnesota.